This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Should we do some news, James?
Let's do some news.
Let me get my breath first. Right, first news story is from the wonderful Melissa Reddy. She broke an exclusive last night that confirmed Liverpool will not interested in Philip Coutinho. We love Mel, don't we? Yeah. We've got a job. So, obviously, Coutinho's down his luck. He's not had the best of seasons, has he, James?
Not really worked out. To say the very least, anyway.
There were rumours earlier on this summer that Liverpool were interested in him. I think a lot of fans kind of wanted him. But during an interview with Jurgen Klopp, he said, in general, Philip Coutinho helps each team in the world 100%. During the interview during the New York Liverpool's pre-season,
there we go.
He said it's not about that. I like Phil. I think he's a fantastic footballer and all that stuff, but it would be a big money signing, and it's not our year for that. James, instant thoughts?
I kind of agree with it. I kind of like the fact that Klopp isn't just going for the big money flashy signings. He's never really done that, and I'm happy that he's not starting now. You know, I think he kind of looked at it as like, listen, he played for us, he then left for Barcelona. I understand why he wanted to leave, but I just want him to stay there and just, you know, wish him all the best, but he's not a part of my plans.
Not for you. Let us know in the comments below. Would you still be in for Coutinho, or you're not interested like James? Next story, a bit of a sad one, this actually. Nathaniel Klein is set to miss the rest of 2019 with an injury.
He's done
his ACL. This broke last night, so he's 28 years old and he's injured himself. He's out for another 6 months at least. Kind of another worry, isn't it, for the right back cover?
It does actually
say he was in line with Crystal Palace for interest in signing him.
Yeah.
So, gutted for him, I think.
I'm gutted for him because, you know, we had that promising start against Tranmere, of course, getting a goal. And I just thought it would have been nice to actually see him get a chance and just see what he can do. You know, you've got to remember, he was England's first choice right back at one point. And the fact now, you know, he gets on loan to Bournemouth, comes back, now he's injured. It's just, you think, like, what's left for him, you know? And to be honest, I think he's done now. I think this injury is just kind of the final straw, sort of, in his Liverpool career anyway.
Does it concern you that Liverpool's lack of cover at right back, you know, obviously Trent's there, and Gomez can go and play wherever need be?
I do think Jürgen might need to open his eyes a bit at that spot and just think, maybe, do you know what, we do lack depth in that position, and to be a successful team and go out and try and win as many trophies as possible, you need depth. And yes, we've got, you know, Hoover and stuff like that, but can you really rely on him to be your backup right back for a full season of football? Do you know what I mean? I don't think that's the best thing to do. Obviously, if that's what Jürgen wants to do, he knows more than me, but I think that if we had to choose a position to bring in cover, right back would probably be the first position I'd look at.
Just put Milner in there, be fine.
But then what about left back? Because don't
Milner.
You
like...
Milner could just do everything. He can play both of them in one game.
There you go. Sound all done. Next story. Liverpool have been urged to sign Bruno Fernandes. Obviously, Liverpool drew with Lisbon last night. He impressed, actually. I don't know if you've seen any of the highlights, James, but he was
got a
very
goal
good.
And an assist.
There's a little picture doing the rounds of Jürgen with his arm around him, just like, come to Blackpool,
just
mate.
Come to Blackpool,
they'll be fine. But in a special guest for the latest podcast on the Blood Red channel for the Echo, they had Alex Goncalves, who is an expert, and he has the creator of Chuka Scout website. So he says he's described as an intelligent footballer that underpins his entire game. He has the capacity to exploit opposition weaknesses and tremendous movement. He reads the game really well And what he likes to do is get in between the lines and those pockets of space and heavily involved in the attacking play. And once he collects the ball, he's very effective. He does actually go on to say he can play a deeper role as well within that midfield and kind of change it up a little bit, which is really good for Liverpool. But then further down,
it's one thing Klopp likes, isn't it? Versatility.
But then he does say, you know, is it an attractive prospect for him to come to Liverpool when we're so stacked with midfielders?
Yeah.
He's going to get game time, but then he can play further forward. And that's the position that I kind of want. Is I know he's a bit more of an attacking midfielder, but someone who can play out left.
Yeah.
To cover Mane, which we've banged on about this summer.
100%. You know, he scored 31 goals last season, didn't he? I don't know if that was just in the league or competitions, but you know,
47 times in 106 appearances, my research tells me.
You know what I mean?
That's a good
really
return.
A really good return. And you know, you do want players like that. You do like to see numbers like that. To be honest, I've kind of wanted to Liverpool to really go in for this type of a player. You know, I actually really like the look of the signing, but it looks like Man United and, you know, Tottenham and Arsenal. Tottenham, Man United, teams like that are looking more into him than we are. And I think we're just kind of happy with what we've got at the moment. And I do suppose if you do look at our midfield, the depth of it is good enough. You know, we've got plenty of good midfielders there. Maybe we don't need another one, but I just think it's never a bad thing to go out and get quality like this. Do you know what I mean? I think he's a really good player himself.
There's also the concern of what Chambers is going to be like, and we'll come on to him in a second. You've got a real story about
that's
him.
That's one thing, yeah.
But let's move on. Gareth Bale, I know we talked about this week, so I'm not going to get you wound up again. But Jurgen Klopp's basically rubbish to talk and said these expensive wages, expensive fee, not interested in him.
Yeah.
But he's just going to go and talk about ahead of the Lisbon game. No, it's Gareth Bale. Yeah, Gareth Bale is a player, and if he leaves, it'd be outstandingly expensive wages. Again, just talk us through that. What you said the other day, you don't want that to ruin Liverpool's...
Exactly, do you know what I mean? The wage structure, because we've realised that can actually have an effect on a club. Uh-huh. And it really, really can. And, you know, you don't want Liverpool getting into that position where once they hit a bit of silverware, they just start buying big players for X amount of million. And there's just no point in doing it when your squad's already good enough. We don't need Gareth Bale, and Jurgen said it there. Why go out and spend this amount of wages on a player? It's not even the price of the player, it's the wages that we'd be spending on them. There's no point in it. We don't need to. Not for the backup winger.
The other quote, which is really interesting from this, which I quite like, and this kind of got me hopes up a little bit more, he's saying Liverpool is a long-term project. The team is really good. Will it be difficult situations? Probably. There will be, even if we bring in a new player or two or three. I didn't say we won't do anything. Is it going to be a big window? It is going to be a big window for sure, but people don't think about people who are already in. And I find that quite interesting. Okay, he didn't say categorically we're not going to buy anyone.
Yeah.
But I think he says, you know, we'll react to the transfer market, which I find quite interesting. But he says it will be a big window.
Yeah.
I might just get my hopes up, James.
Maybe. But you don't know, do you, with Liverpool? You really don't know what they're going to spend the money on. You know, you've got Henry coming out and saying that he wants to spend this amount of money and they want to keep improving. But then we haven't really had a sniff of any big transfer business, realistically. Not compare when you compare it to last summer, especially.
But that's not a bad thing, is it? Because Liverpool have got really good at, you know, being in control of that and keeping things under wraps, and the Virgil van Dijk thing.
Oh, yeah, 100%. More, so. We just tether the media now, Jordan.
We'll tell what we'll do. We'll judge it when the window's closed.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
And then we'll judge it again in 10 weeks into the season.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the best time to do it, because you can't really judge it now, to be fair.
Another bit of good news, James, is Liverpool's expansion for Anfield Road End is set to be slightly bigger than anticipated. Peter Moore was speaking in New York this week, and he said they want to increase the capacity to 58,800 in total, adding around 4,600 seats. However, the club are now planning to go above 60,000 capacity. We're saying the current application is insufficient to our plans. And I think this is really good news, because over the past week or so, we've really covered the availability of getting tickets for fans, and it's a nightmare, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're a massive club. So
The amount of messages I get saying, oh, James, do you know anywhere where I can get a ticket or something? And even I don't really know, because I can just about get one for myself, and it is a nightmare getting a ticket.
And the system itself as well, isn't it? I think they kind of changed that up again this year, so the priority of people get them and stuff, and we get messages all the time through Facebook and stuff, of going, I just want tickets, and like, listen, it's out of our hands. But it just opens up more opportunity. I know it's an extra safe for 4,000 or 5,000 people. That's still a lot of people. I still think you'll still have trouble. But if you can ease the problems for the fans to get tickets, I think that's only
100%. You know, the expansion is something that I think we need, a 1,000,000%. I don't think this is going to make much of a difference in terms of how easy it is to get tickets, just because the demand for them is that high.
Yeah.
But obviously, you've got to start somewhere.
Yeah, of course you have. We'll whisk through these last two. I found this dead interesting as well. Match of the Day are under threat out of the Sky. I'm thinking about showing you Premier League highlights on YouTube for free.
Oh my God!
So
let me see.
Yeah, so Sky considered making the Premier League highlights freely available after matches this season in a move that could hit viewing figures. BBC's Match of the Day. Sky bosses are giving serious thought to broadcasting 3-minute clips of key moments on YouTube shortly after games finish. I mean, as a young viewer, James, I think this is very much targeted at your generation.
I know.
Because, I mean, like, I'm 30 now and I watch Match of the Day on a Sunday morning, not a Saturday night. But I watch it because I do quite like the analysis of, like, the depth that they go into.
Yeah.
Not so much the comments that some of the pundits make, because some of them are absolute knobheads.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? You get that in-depth stuff. And they have a bit of a laugh, which I quite like.
Well, Match of the Day was kind of the thing that got me into watching football. So if that went, that would be weird for
but
me.
But if you didn't have access to Sky or BT Sport and you're a viewer and you go, I've got the highlights.
Yeah.
Straight after a game.
Yeah.
Is that you're satisfied then, aren't you?
Don't get me wrong, as long as you're seeing the highlights and you're seeing them in full, then you can't really complain, to be honest with you. It's just I'd miss Match of the Day if it was to go because of this.
You'd still be there, mate, don't worry.
This is a great thing then. Brilliant.
Okay, sound. Okay, let us know in the comments below. Would you be a fan of this or you're a Match of the Day person?
Are you a fan?
I'd rather watch Match of the Day, to be honest.
Yeah, shame.
Something we briefly touched on before. Fuck off, adverts. I don't want a Skoda. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is nursing a calf injury. I suspect this might put him out of the Napoli game, give him a little bit of a rest. But like we touched on before, progressing, adding to the squad in that position and stuff. Mm-hmm. This is a concern for Liverpool fans. And the fact that, I said before, they don't know how he's going to come back. And you don't want this three weeks into the season of going, we had the opportunity to go and buy someone.
I know. And this is why Klopp might just have a bit of a headache. You know, when players like Oxlade-Chamberlain are going out injured, it does give you a bit of a question. Do I just need to go out and buy someone? And realistically, I do think the answer to that is yes. And because of situations like this, because this is going to pop up in the season as well. I'm not just talking about Oxlade-Chamberlain specifically.
You've got
all these players who will get injuries throughout the season. It will happen. It's inevitable. It happens with Liverpool. It happens with every team. This is why you probably do need to go out and maybe just get that extra midfielder, an extra quality midfielder that you will need when it comes to the December period, the end of the season. It's vital to get these players in, I think. What do you reckon about Oxlade-Chamberlain, about him getting injured again?
If it's only a niggle, that can happen. Yeah. That can happen to any player, whether he's got injuries or not, like you just said. But I think the best I can say with fans, and I've got it because we've seen before, Liverpool have reached a point where, they're challenging for the title.
Yeah.
And they don't add to that to go and push themselves to the next level. And,
exactly.
I said, I'm all right now. I'll judge it when the window's finished. And I'll judge it when we're 10 games into the season or something. And I'll probably moan about it. Si, some comments, please.
Absolute chaos in the comments today. Quite a lot of people moaning about Klopp. Gino Briscoe especially has been saying, nobody coming in, stupid Klopp says so. If our front three get injured, we're in trouble. Mid-table team, are you blind on here? Last season was a fluke. We need depth. And then there's a couple of people kind of echoing that, but not quite as strong.
I see where he's coming from, because there's games where we've got a lot of last-minute winners and certain things happened and stuff. And I said, I'll judge it at the end of the window. Liverpool, they're good at keeping quiet about the transfer stuff.
Yeah.
Look at the Fabinho thing. We could be talking now, something could happen.
I understand the frustration. I just don't know. I don't know if it's that much of a worry, that much. I do get frustration of fans, but I don't think we're in a position where, we can say last season was a fluke. I don't think 97 points is a fluke. I don't think winning the Champions League, getting to the final for the second time, I don't think that's a fluke either. I think that's just because we're a genuinely good team. Yes, I do feel one or two additions could be better, but I don't think it's a crisis that we've been in before.
But when you see Man City getting 100 points and 98 points,
that's true.
You want to build on that to kind of watch that, and that's understandable.
Yeah.
Another one?
Kieran Aaron says, people need to remember that we don't have the same wealth as City. Our owners have 10% of the net worth that City do. We can't afford to go out and spend 80 million on someone that will play 20 games a year.
Yeah, and there's also the rules that some clubs have to abide by. Yeah. I'm not going to get into that right now, but obviously we spent a lot on Fabinho, we spent a lot on Naby Keita, we spent a lot on Alisson, we spent a lot on Van Dijk, and again, we're getting loads of money coming in through the Champions League and through TV money and through sponsorships and stuff like that. But it's the comments you said of going, don't go and spend 30, 40 million pounds just for the sake of getting another body in the door.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
When if Liverpool can wait till next season and go, actually, we're going to get someone to come in who's 80, whatever, next season, go and do it then. City are a bit of an anomaly because they just go and spend money through whatever you can.
Yeah, and like you just said it then, and he mentioned it as well, you know, you don't want to get yourself into a position where, you know, like Chelsea, in where they can't go and buy players. You've actually got to take care of how much you let into the club and how much you let out. And I think that could be one thing that Liverpool are taking into consideration. They don't want to overspend. And the lad's right, you know, you don't want to just bring in a body for 30, 40 million just for the sake of it. If you make a signing, you want a meaning to it.
Yeah. So, cool. Last one.
Just one on Klein that I think that echoes everyone's thoughts. Curtis White says, I feel so bad for Klein. I think that's his Liverpool career over. He'll be sold when he recovers, I reckon. And I find it hard to see a world where that isn't the case. And you've got to feel sorry for him because he put quite a lot of effort into this club over the last few years. He seems like a good fella. And so it's a shame that he'd missed out. Injuries lost him his place in the side. And now when either he was going to get a Premier League move or he was going to be a backup to Trent that was going to play games for this to happen, I do feel sorry for Nathaniel.
You don't wish injury on anyone, do you?
No.
Like, my mind's your own players, and to be such a bad injury at the stage of the career that he was in, obviously the report suggested he was on the verge of a move or he was in talks with, you know, Premier League clubs, as I just said. I'm thinking, well, part of me thought, why couldn't you got injured after we went through?
No.
It was a bit of a tight move. But again, you know, his value's decreased. The chances of those Premier League clubs looking at him going, actually, he's an attractive prospect to get this another injury setback.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, in 6 months' time or even longer when he's fit again and the window being opened, it won't be clubs of the calibre that have been looking at him.
Oh, nah, most likely not, to be fair, you know. And it is sad when you look at the fact that, you know, he used to be England's starting right back. He was just so promising. I remember when we first signed him, I was like, that's such a good player to bring in. Like, I think it was like 12.5 million or something that we brought him in. And I was like, he's probably one of the best right backs we're getting for that sort of a price. And he delivered. He was consistent in most of the games that he played. You know, a solid 7 out of 10 every game. Talk about players like James Milner being like that. Klein was that player.
Consistent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it is a devastating thing. But I do wish him luck for when he does come back, whether it's with us or when he leaves or whatever. But I do think it's done for them now.
Yeah, we wish him the best of luck. That is your news for Thursday. Don't forget, it's exclusive week on redmentv.com. Go and check that out. Go and start your free month. And as I said before, you get all those exclusive interviews, including the big one on Monday, Mr. Chris Pajak and Jurgen Klopp. That's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Ta-ra.
Peace.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.